Turn to 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. And the subtitle is Spiritual Maturity. We had a little bit last week in dealing with the priesthood and what it looks like for us moving into this last great move of God. The title of this message is Your Nature is Who You Are. Your nature is who you are. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I know recently I've been emphasizing a lot about who we are in Jesus Christ. And I've been emphasizing that for a specific reason. It's so that you do not forget who you are. And we had this problem that because we live in these bodies, we forget who we are. And what happens is when a situation comes into our lives, we revert back to what we have killed, what has died on the cross in Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do is emphasize how important it is for you to understand that when we forget, I'm not talking about forgetting about memory loss or anything like that. When I had my stroke, I suffered a little bit of memory loss, which is coming back gradually. But what I'm talking about is really thinking about you as a new creation in Jesus Christ. You are a divine being. You've heard me say that you are supernatural beings, and that is true. That's what God says you are. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. There is never going to be another you, nor is there going to be another me. And some of you guys may say amen to that. But I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, everything that we have that pertains to life is found in Him. Whatever you need, He has it for you. And you need to learn how to activate your faith in order to appropriate that into your life so that you become more like Jesus Christ. Now, once we get this identity issue taken care of and we begin to start becoming more and more spiritual people, growing up into the spiritual realities of this physical world, we have another hurdle that we sometimes get messed up on. And that it has to deal with our calling, okay? Our calling and our nature. Who could tell me what your nature is? And it's not the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees outside. That's nature. That's what we call it. What is your nature? What does that comprise of? What does it look like? Your nature has to deal with your character of who you are inside. Okay? It's your very being. When I talk about nature, I'm talking about who you are. And it's real important that we understand who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. Because the greater works that is destined for us really must be arrested to the point of understanding who we are. Anything from this point forward is predicated on you believing, not just believing, but believing that you know who you are in Jesus Christ. Because that world out there is going to try to tell you that you are not this, you are not that. We have people in the body of Christ that don't even believe half the things that the Lord God Almighty has told us through the Scriptures. How sad. How sad. Calling has to deal with our work. What have you been called to? What is your job in the kingdom? Only you can answer that. Or if God speaks to me, which He has, about what your jobs are, you need to be pursuing Him to find out what your job is and then begin to start doing it. Okay? We can't come away in our Christian walk in a basic understanding of what we have in Jesus Christ. We have salvation, we have righteousness, we have faith, we have a whole conglomerate of things, but we don't know how to appropriate it. We don't know how to utilize it. And what happens is we brag about how much of the Bible we know. And I've told you time and time again, it isn't how much the Bible you know. It's how much the Word knows you. Remember John 1? The Word took on flesh. Is this Word, is this living Word taking on your flesh and you're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? Or is this Word just logos to you and you have a head knowledge which Satan will allow us to build our pride up, but we have no real function in the things that God wants done? The more we pursue Jesus Christ, the more we're focused on Jesus Christ, the less our fallen nature takes over. More and more of our divine nature is happening. And this is what this whole scripture is talking about. It's talking about your nature appropriating the precious promises of Jesus Christ to become a divine being. And part of being a divine being is entering into this worldwide priesthood that is being assembled even at this very moment. What is one of the main prerequisites for us to be part of this growing priesthood? We have to be born again. Right? This is not going to be any heavy revy today. It's just going to be real basic stuff. We got to be born again. Jesus set the example for us by showing us that when Gabriel the angel came to Mary, he said to her that, you know, the Lord God had promised to give birth through a virgin. Okay? And she didn't know how this was going to happen, but he said to her that, you know, the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and make this union complete. Thereby, Jesus was born in an earthly body with an earthly mother by a heavenly father. Okay? We can agree with that, right? It's not anything deep. Then, when he was birthed, his whole life was captivated by people trying to kill him off. Why? Because the moment we become born again, we're born of the Spirit, just like Jesus, we enter into a warfare that is antagonistic against the people of God. How many of us that once we got saved, we wanted to set the world on fire and tell everybody about Jesus? I know I did. And so what has happened is we've entered into this fray, but what we've had the last 100 years or so is a doctrine that is so foreign from the truth of Jesus Christ that people don't even check it out to see if it's accurate. And remember last week I said that we're supposed to have an experience past salvation only. We're not to just sit in a pew. We're not just supposed to grow up and take a position in the church and like that's some great accomplishment. The great accomplishment is doing what God has called for you to do to fulfill the Great Commission. Once we got saved, we now entered into a warfare. It is my job, along with the other ascension gifts, to teach you how to do this warfare. But if you don't believe who you are, it doesn't matter what the teaching is. Right? Doesn't matter. Because you think, mental assent, think that you're in Jesus Christ. But what does your spirit say? That you are in Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. Jesus, when he was baptized by the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness and he came back. And his first job was what? He began to preach the kingdom of God. He then made disciples. And after he made disciples, he began to confront the powers of darkness by casting out demons, healing the sick, doing everything. But basically, he was on an invasion of this planet. He invaded a world that did not know him nor wanted him. And we are to follow after his suit. After Jesus died on the cross, he atoned for our sins. He went to captivity. And when he left captivity, he brought captivity up with him. He ascended on high. He picked up his body and he went up into heaven. And scripture says, when he ascended, he led captivity captive. Thereby, when he rose from the dead, he broke the power of Satan, who had control of fear of death over mankind. And once and for all of us who believe in Jesus Christ have been set free. Do you believe that? Because it's true. That's what he did. He knew what his job was, and he performed his job. And then he told the disciples, he said to them, he says, I want you to go and preach. I want you to go make disciples, and I want you to build my church. Right? Wrong. He's going to build his church. Okay? But he did tell us to go and preach the good news, to heal the sick, raise the dead, speak in other languages, whatever it takes, because you are kingdom people now. You have a divine regality about you that this world is dying to see. And you need to exercise this. If you don't believe this, you will not exercise it. Okay? So it's real imperative that we get this down into our spirits in such a way that when we go out, we don't go out like the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses and Bible thump people to death into the kingdom. No, we do like what we've been doing. We serve our community. We serve each other. We show the world that we have love for one another. And by that, we reveal that we are His disciples. John 13:35. We just do it. Okay? And you guys have been doing an excellent job, so much so that when we're involved with Main Street Festival or the tree lighting things, you know, people are coming to me and to others saying, how's your church doing this? What are you, you know, they think we're the ones organized. Well, technically we are, because we are kings and priests to rule and reign upon this planet. And so we have now entered into a position of authority and power. What is power? The ability to wage war. What's authority? Right to do so. For what purpose? Dominion. What is dominion? Come on, Holly. Right. It doesn't stop, because Isaiah 9 tells us that the kingdom of His kingdom will start and never end. There's no ending in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so, for us, we need to learn what jurisdiction is. We have jurisdiction. Where's jurisdiction start? Starts with me. I need to get my life right in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I stop existing in my life just to get things right. It means as I'm walking this thing out in faith, God is going to change me, because this word is real to me. It's life and substance to me. And I need to line up with what the king says, because I'm a king. And what's the responsibility of a king under a king? I told you this. Jesus conquered the world. Satan is the throne. It is the responsibility of those kings to go and teach the inhabitants that have been conquered what the supreme king's will is for them. That is our job. Amen? He has put within us, the moment we became born again of His Spirit, He has given us His very DNA that is in our spirits. But in placing that DNA, it is our responsibility by faith to exercise the truths to make that our reality in this world. You are kings and priests. You are heavenly people. You are destined to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. You are destined to judge the nations. You are destined to judge angels. You are destined. That is not for common folk. That is the purpose of kings and priests, which you are, the family of God, going to do. And you need to start by taking your jurisdiction, your authority and power to wage war against the enemy, which we call sin, in our lives. And the more we war against it, the more we die to it, the more holier and righteous we become, because the blood of Jesus Christ is our weapon. Amen? Now, once we do that, we have to recognize that within our DNA, God has placed in us the ability to preach, which means to build up, make disciples. Or preaching means to restore. Build up means to make disciples. And to govern is to expand His kingdom. And that's contained within each and every one of us. Just some of us, it's lying dormant, because we haven't believed the truth that God has said, this is who you are. If you're the child of God, and He's king, you are king. If He is the high priest of our faith, then that makes you a priest of the faith. See how it's lining up? See how you have to line up? I'm not going to let some man tell me something that's contrary. If it's not lining up with the Word of God, then why are we doing it? Well, because it's traditional. A lot of people are going to hell because it's tradition. A lot of people aren't entering into the fullness of what Jesus Christ has given to us. You are that generation that is going to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Because it's true. Jesus, when He was here on earth, He preached many things, but the main thing that He preached was the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Everywhere that He went was about the kingdom of heaven. And so must we. We need to stop filling people with a bunch of fear about what would happen to you if you died tonight. Would you go to heaven? And what we need to tell them is, God loves you so much that He wants you to be part of His kingdom, that when you die, you'll be with Him forever and ever. See the difference? One's fear, which drives people away, or they make a conversion that's not of faith, it's of fear. And the other one is really seeing how much God loves them, and we communicate that to them. I mean, it's their choice. If they don't want to walk this thing out and they don't want what God wants, you know what? Remember I said it takes about 7 times for a person to receive Jesus Christ, to hear the gospel? And that number is still true. So you may be number 4, you may be number 1 speaking to this person and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's okay. You're sowing seed out there. It's not an instantaneous thing, although some people may be instantaneous. They may have heard the gospel 6, 7, 8 times and finally said, you know what? The Spirit of God has convicted me so much that, you know what? I need to surrender my life to Him. I need to become that which He's called me to be. Of all the 12, Peter was the only one that recognized Jesus' apostolic nature. Because an apostolic nature is preaching, building, and expansion. That is what a mature believer looks like. He's preaching the kingdom. He's building into people. He's winning souls into the kingdom. And he's ever looking to expand. And this expansion, as I said to you, takes on a different thing than just us sharing people with the gospel. It is taking over. Getting ourselves into the communities. Getting ourselves into places of influence. Getting ourselves into places where God can be exalted. Because let's face it, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And it needs our help to help arrest that. We have to believe that we're not going to change the corruption that's in this system, this Babylonian system. What we are about to do is take people out of that system and place them into the system of God, trying to influence as many people as we can before the end comes. Because God's going to destroy the system. And that's what it says in Revelation. The thing that we need that is key for us is that we need a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes our Jesus just isn't big enough because we haven't sought him. We allow the cares of the world and things to get us down, put us down, look at stuff, you know, the frenzies of the world, standards by other people. You know, I've heard people say, well, Pastor, how can I attain that standard? You're not. But that's what I have to live for. You have to die for that. You can't live for it. You have to die. Paul says, to die is gain, and to gain is Christ. We can't do this. We're human beings. Well, it has to be by the Spirit. And if we're not living this thing by the Spirit, then all we're doing is playing church. And that's not what this is about. This is not what Christ died for. He died for a revolution of which he is the head of this revolution. And you guys are part of this revolution. You're going to turn this world upside right one more time. So we need a greater revolution. We need a greater revelation of Jesus Christ, because the more we see Jesus, the more we understand him, the more we understand him, the beginning, we start to begin to understand who we are. And the more revelation we have of Jesus, the more accountability we need. When I was starting to get this revelation, and you could ask the leaders, I was deathly afraid, because I thought I was really going out there. Wasn't I, Ed? And I said, man, I need to get us undercover, and I need to share this with people. And the funny thing was that God brought us into a network that these guys were like, this is normal. This is what should be going on all the time. But in that revelation that I was receiving, I thought I was way out there, only to find out that I'm on the right path. I'm following the Spirit of God. I'm doing the things that God wants. And I'm telling you the truth. Because the fruit bears out in your lives. You know, anybody can go to church. Satan goes to church. But if you're not bearing fruits of righteousness and repentance, what's your deal? You know, you can fake out, Pastor, sometimes. You can do a whole lot of other things in there. But you're never going to fake out God, and you're never going to fake out your heart. Because your heart is what's going to convict you one way or another. God wants us to have this revelation of what's going on in our lives with the spiritual DNA so that we can move as one man. Israel, when they crossed over to Jordan, they moved as one man and they conquered the land. And that's what God wants us to do. Other churches are having this revelation of this move, and we need to connect with these churches, because it's only a remnant that's moving out. Only a remnant is going to do this. And I don't know the size of this remnant. I just know that a remnant is a piece of the whole pie, of which that's what we are. He wants us to move in love because this revelation brings a greater accountability. It brings a greater amount of love, gives us understanding. And because we see this, we begin to succeed in our lives. Our lives take on a different succession than just working for the man night and day. Paying the bills. Paying my tithes. Showing up at church because I'm such a wonderful person. Doing my duty. What is your heart saying to you? What is going on in your heart? You have to pay attention to your heart. Amen? We need more of Him and we need more of His presence. He said in John 15, 1 through 17, He said, the key verse is, you can do nothing without me. And so we have to understand that this mobility, this spiritual growth, is predicated on us following His Word. Okay, that's our obedience. And releasing this DNA so that God can work with us in sharing those things. Speaking to people. Have you ever been at an event and people come up to you and you don't know why they're coming up to you? And you're saying to yourself, man, I just wish they would leave me alone. Have you ever had that problem? Or am I the only one? It's God. God wants to get you out of your comfort zone. God wants you to begin to start opening up. God wants you to start moving in love to these people. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Irene and I go to some place, and the next thing you know, man, they're revealing their whole life. And it's like, who are you? You know, what are you doing? You know, but it's the Spirit of God is drawing them. And you have the Spirit of God within you. Let Him out. Let Him draw them. You have everything that they need to bring them to life. Set them forward. Set them in motion. Jesus didn't just atone for our sins and make a way for our salvation. He set an example for us how to live sacrificially for the kingdom. And some of us, we don't know what that means. We don't know how to live sacrificially for the kingdom. I'll go back to Gary's teaching about discipleship. You know, how are you being discipled? Who are you sharing these things with? You know, it's not a matter of, a therapy session. Remember, Dor? We used to call it a therapy session. It's not that. It's about having someone who's gone before you pour their life into you so that you don't make the same mistakes. And that doesn't mean you don't have the freedom to do what you want to do. This is not about a control issue. This is about you walking in righteousness before God. What is the example that Jesus is showing you that you need to walk in that you're disobedient to? You need to just repent, get it under the blood, and start moving out in faith. See, Jesus took care of the sin issue for us. It's not a sin issue as far as our behavior. It's a sin issue in the way we think. That's what repentance is. Repentance is doing 180 degrees turnaround in the way you think about sin or what you're doing. It's agreeing with God. God says, I did something wrong. You're right, God. I did something wrong. Forgive me. I repent to you. You turn around and He adjusts your thinking, and then you get the privilege of fixing everything you messed up, but He's there with you. It's so wonderful. Because when you run out of doing that, it's time to go home. So we have a lifetime of fixing the stuff we messed up. Amen? In order for us to accomplish our part in the Great Commission, we must utilize faith. Everything in the kingdom is by faith. Everything. And it starts with us receiving a greater revelation of the Lord. If all we have is Jesus is in the manger, or Jesus is dying on the cross, your Jesus is too little. If your Jesus is like my Jesus, the conquering king who's going to come back, and he holds his rewards with him, that everything that we've done for his glory, he will reward us for. If we have been disobedient, that reward is with him too. And I've told you many times, my heart is to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servants, enter into the joy of the Lord." We must understand that Jesus is not building just any old church. Okay? He's building a victorious, glorious church of which you are part of. And Jesus isn't just using any substandard print or substandard materials. He is using the very best materials, which you and I are. So the way you look at yourself, and the way that you think about yourself, and the way that does not line up with God is very critical in how God's going to use you to build His church. Whether it's me as pastor, or Ken as prophet, or Sean as teacher, or let's use Dill Pickle, youth leader, whatever he wants to do, if we're disobedient to that call, hypothetically, I'm saying this, okay? Hypothetically. But you are so important to him in this process that you're not just some piece of 2x4 that's thrown out on the side. It's got a bunch of nails and stuff. You are gold to him. You are precious gems to him. You are silver. And you've been refined in such a way that he looks at you as finished. And what he sees is something beautiful and wonderfully made. Do you see this? Because if you do not see this, if you do not believe this, how you move forward from this day forward is going to determine everything about you. It's in you. Excellence is in you because He has given you excellence. He's given you the best. And we have to settle once and for all in our hearts that this world hates God. This world is filled with God haters. There's God haters in the church. There are people that are seduced by spirits that don't even understand that they're being seduced by spirits. Because the enemy has infiltrated the church. And his job is to stop the church from ending his reign upon this planet. It's not going to happen. My Bible tells me the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. You have been destined from the beginning. Once you signed up, you are a winner. I don't care what they say about you out there. You shouldn't care about what they say about you. You should only care about what your Father in heaven says about you. You shouldn't even care what I say about you. And I'm bragging on you. You should only care what Jesus says. Because the testimony of men is just a short skip from their opinions. And we don't want that. We have to understand that we're not going to change this world. This world is destined, okay, to become a one world system. It is destined to become a one world religion. It is destined to become a one world economic system. It is destined for that. Our job is to fight against that from happening? No. Our job is to take those positions in order to influence as many people, from the president all the way down to the wino. Each one is important to Jesus, and we need to reach out to them. We need to tell them the truth. We need to pray for them. We need to begin to infiltrate these areas. Well, Pastor, I just don't feel led to do this. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with what the Spirit of God is saying for you to do and you responding to Him. You have all power and authority to wage this war. The only thing stopping you, you've heard me say this time and time again, is you. And that's what you think about. The enemy's realm is to stop you dead in your thought life. That's what repentance is, remember? It's changing the way you think. Romans 12:2. Be no longer conformed to this world, but transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. Satan knows his time is short, and he's not going to give up without a fight. Church, we are entering into a warfare that we need to learn to put the equipment on and fight the good fight of faith. We need to understand that our battle is not with each other. Our battle is against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And they are not going to give up their jurisdictions without a fight. They are not. Our weapons are mighty in God. They're not carnal. They're designed to pull down every argument, every vain imagination, everything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They are designed to be pulled down. How you think is how your nature is going to be lived out. If you don't believe that you are a king and a priest, destined to rule and reign, you won't. You will say it's some other guy's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Satan's weapons are designed to confuse, agitate, lie against the truth, stir up lustful thoughts in our minds, all to impede the focus of doing the job that is at hand. What is the job at hand? Kingdom expansion, winning the lost, preaching the truth. That's the job that you and I have. The war is won. We just have battles now. And most of those battles is because we haven't really thought about, in militaristic terms, to go on the offense. We're allowing the enemy to come into our homes. We're allowing the boob tube that is filled with garbage and stuff to dictate to us, when the reality of it is we should be out winning the loss, using everything that God has given to us to His glory. He has given us power and authority to take dominion and have jurisdiction. He's told us to conduct this business until He comes. The armies of darkness are amassing. If your faith and trust is in the government, you need to repent and get it into the kingdom with the King. I'm going to go on retirement from my secular job so I can seek God and have more revelation as to how He wants this to come about. I'm trusting God to meet my needs. I'm trusting Him because He's the only one I can trust. He's the only one that's proven Himself faithful to me. And He's never let me down. How you think determines how you behave and determines the quality of your work. God expects no more than excellence from us, because that's His standard, and that's the standard we need to strive for. If we go out and we begin to open up ourselves to those opportunities when someone sits down to us that's a nuisance, or you ever go to a party where it's just that one person, oh man, why are they here? And then they sit next to you. We got to get rid of this thought that they're a problem and start seeing ourselves as a solution to them. Begin to befriend them. Begin to love them. Begin to tell them what Jesus has done for us and how He has changed us. Maybe your next best friend. When we understand this revelation of Jesus, and we get this greater revelation, we begin to understand what His hope is in you and in me. That's why Paul says that he prays that we have the spirit of revelation and wisdom, that we may see what is the hope of His calling in the saints. Without revelation, without the rhema of the Word, we're just sitting ducks for the enemy to pick us off, because there's no reality or basis to our faith. You have been born for such a time as this. You have been made to rule and reign. You are victorious, and you haven't even entered into the battle yet. You are a winner, because Jesus says you are. It's in your DNA. His very essence is in you. And you're not here by accident. You're here because God wants to say something to you that is so truthful and so filled with effervescence and life, that He wants you to discard what you've been holding on, because you can't receive more until you let go of what you have. But that means I'll be out of control. You never were in control. He's been in control all the time. He says, you can do nothing without me. He's king. We're the kings under the great, awesome king. Let's stand. Father, we just come before you, Lord God, as your people. And we are humbled by the magnitude of how you look at us, Lord. You look at us, God, as finished, regal people. Weapons ready to do your bidding. Father, use streams in such a way that we get the truth out. Bring us into contact with those churches of like spirit, God, that we may build together, that we may preach the good news, that we may make disciples, that we may expand your kingdom on earth as it already is in heaven. God, help us to understand that you have given mankind no higher calling than what you have given to us, God. And that we too will be seated at the right hand. Father, I know that you have plans for streams, God. And I know they are wonderful, God. I know that they are awesome. Show your people. Show them. Reveal to them, God. Give them the revelation that they need to see the greater things. Like the prophet did with his servant Gehazi, to open up his eyes to see the armies of God. Help them to see too, Lord. Father, I thank you for each man, woman, and child here, God. I thank you, God. And I'm humbled by your awesomeness, God, to use me in such a way as to help equip the end time army to bring in this last great harvest, that your house would be full, God. Father, I pray that you would send these out into the fields, that they would do their work and bring in the harvest, God. I ask you bless them richly, God, in everything that they set their hands to. I ask that you expand their minds, God, in such a way that they would see truly who they are in you. And Father, be with us. Go before us, protect us in every which way, God. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.